Good morning. We are joined on the line by Dr. Amy McNeil. She's an associate professor of microbiology, immunology, and pathology at Colorado State University. And as a veterinary pathologist, Dr. McNeil studies how to use the immune system to fight cancer. And right now, she is working on developing a vaccine for the coronavirus. Good morning, Dr. McNeil.
Good morning.
Tell us about your vaccine research.
We were able to kind of refocus our laboratory and start trying to use some of the vaccine vectors that we use to stimulate the immune response against cancer cells to try to stimulate the immune response against the coronavirus. So it's an exciting thing to move into and start to work on. Basically, we're just taking a very tiny piece of the coronavirus, not the whole virus, just a piece of a protein, the spike protein that's important for getting the coronavirus into cells and infecting you. We're going to take a tiny piece of that protein and put it in a vector that will help stimulate the immune response against that protein, and we're hoping that we can block binding of the coronavirus so that it can't get into cells and can't cause infection in people.
As you're doing this, how do you test this vaccine and whether it's working? Is it in humans or animals or in a lab?
Yeah, all three eventually. We'll start at the very baby steps, which will be in the lab, in some cell cultures. So the first thing we'll do is create these viruses that will express this coronavirus protein in the lab. We'll make sure that they're doing that correctly and that we can identify the protein being produced. And then the next step will actually just be in regular laboratory mice. So laboratory mice don't really get infected with this coronavirus, so it's not going to be seeing if it's protective in that system, but what we're going to do is just see if those mice can create an antibody against this coronavirus protein that we're expressing with the vaccine. And so that's the very first step, and we hope to get that done by the end of the summer. And then the next step will be to see if it's going to be a protective vaccine. So if we can get it to produce the protein and we can get mice to show that they can make antibody against it, the next step will be to try to protect animals against infection. And there's a few species that we know can get infected with this coronavirus that's infecting people that causes COVID-19. And some of those species are things like deer mice and cats, unfortunately, and hamsters. And so working in collaboration with other researchers at the Infectious Diseases Center here at CSU, that will actually be testing the vaccine to see if we can protect at least one of those groups of animals against infection. If that happens, then we can start to work with companies to get this in a phase, what they call a phase one trial in people. So it's a bit of an extended time course. Can't get it done by Christmas, unfortunately, but that's the plan of action.
Dr. McNeil, I wanted to ask you about the spot you're at right now with introducing a bit of this disease, the coronavirus, into a vector. Now, what is a vector? Is that a medium, some kind of neutral medium that carries it around, or what is a vector?
That's a good question. It's actually another virus. So the virus that we're going to use to express this protein, we actually are using two. They're pox viruses. That's the virus that I do most of my work in. And those viruses have either been attenuated or don't normally infect people anyway. And all they do is they help to get this protein into the body and introduce it into cells so that the immune response can identify it and see it and react against it. So these are replicating viruses. Well, at least one is replicating virus that will not cause disease in and of itself, but deliver this protein to the immune response so it can be identified.
Sounds like a really step-by-step process. I'm just curious about whether or not there are impediments in your way that are either bureaucratic or staffing or materials. What stands in your way of getting it done by Christmas, for example?
Oh, well, a lot of it is we just need to make sure it's effective and safe before it ever goes into a human being. And so that just takes time, unfortunately. So it's really a step-by-step process. We do need approvals along the way, and we need to make sure that, if we do run into a stumbling block, it stops there and it doesn't go forward too quickly.
We're talking to Dr. Amy McNeil from Colorado State University. Dr. McNeil, how do you anticipate your research that's being done now is going to contribute to this overall kind of vaccine race that's happening?
I think it's just really important that we try as many things as we can, as quickly as we can. There's a lot of different ways to make a vaccine, and each different type of vaccine stimulates the immune response in a slightly different way. And because we don't know as much as we really want to know about this virus yet, by having a bunch of different options, hopefully we can find some that will be effective and safe. We also have to think about and balance it with the issue of people who are immunosuppressed or might, respond differently to one vaccine than another. So having a bunch of different vaccines available, maybe using them in tandem, can give us the best immune response that will really prevent this infection. So more eggs in the basket, I guess, is better.
Dr. McNeil.
And then also,
go ahead.
Oh, sure,
please.
Go ahead.
No, please.
Well, also, every time we study this protein a little bit differently and every time we look at it, and decide where antibodies bind it and what those antibodies do, we learn more about the virus and we learn more about all infectious diseases, and that helps to promote science even if a vaccine doesn't get to market.
You mentioned that there's things you want to know that we don't know yet about COVID-19. Mm-hmm. But has surprised you? What have you discovered so far? What surprised you in your research so far? And what do you want to know?
Good question. I think a lot of the important research being done right now is not research I'm directly involved in. It's research that I know about through an infectious disease group formed at the university here, where everybody's trying to talk to each other and give them information as we learn it. I think some of the most interesting things that we need to consider about this virus is how does the immune response react to it? Is it better to have, T cells responding strongly or B cells that make antibody responding strongly? We don't really know what that balance is in the immune system yet to really get over infection and clear the infection from the body. And there are questions about whether or not some people who are having complications with a massive cytokine storm that they're talking about, or these children that are having organ failure after being infected, we need to understand why that's happening and try to prevent it.
I heard a story last week with the science correspondent from NPR, and they were talking about how there's a lot of research going on in the world and that more than one solution, more than one vaccine is going to come up and probably be developed at the same time. And that would be a good thing because the actual physical process of creating billions of doses of vaccine is it's a manufacturing nightmare on top of everything else. Mm-hmm. So if there are solutions that are coming from all angles with different technologies, that they're going to work together to help solve this crisis, that no one vaccine is probably going to do it, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we're working on them quickly. We're trying to get them out there quickly and safely, and that is another hurdle that we could face. With many of these vaccines, a lot of our pharmaceutical companies in this country and other countries have similar vaccines that have been up and running, and hopefully we can get collaborations and partnerships working with them so that we can get large doses of vaccine out quickly.
Do you know anything about some of the things that people are talking about with treatment? They're not necessarily a vaccine, obviously, but HQC mm-hmm. and
HCQ
and, yeah. and some of the yeah. resistotrol or whatever that is. I'm not a doctor, obviously, but what do you put any faith in any of those things? And what is exciting out there that you've seen so far?
Yeah, I think there are many potentials for treatments out there. I'm very excited about some of them. I'm not as excited about malarial treatments for this necessarily. I think mechanism of action needs to be a little bit better known for some of those drugs that we've had around for a long time. But certainly some of the antiviral drugs that will decrease the replication of the virus could be very beneficial. And there are also a lot of drugs that are called protease inhibitors that are out there. And if we find the right one of those that will prevent, so this gets a little crazy, but that protein that I was talking about putting in the vaccine, the spike protein, binds to cells, and that's what I'm trying to prevent. But then it needs to be cleaved by a protease. And if we can prevent that cleavage from happening, we can prevent the virus from getting into the cell also. So I think that's another very viable alternative as a treatment if you are already infected, to minimize spread of the virus in the body.
Protease inhibitors. They sound good.
Protease, yeah. yeah. And I'm sure there's other drugs out there that could be beneficial too, but those are kind of to decrease of replication and preventing this cleavage from happening, I think are really have a lot of potential.
Dr. McNeil, you mentioned that there's collaboration happening at CSU among the infectious disease component or organization at the college. What's the attitude mm-hmm. like kind of outside of that? There's different people in the state and around the country who are also working on vaccines and doing other research. Is there a kind of atmosphere of competition, or is there more open sharing of information? And has that attitude kind of changed as this pandemic has appeared and affected our whole society?
Yeah, in my experience, it's been extremely collaborative all across really the world. Many of the people working here at CSU have collaborators in other states. The rate at which publications have been getting out there as we're learning about this coronavirus is incredible. You have to be a little careful, make sure they're repeatable, things like that. But the collaboration between the scientific community has just been phenomenal, and I think it's really going to move this forward much more quickly than it ever could with individuals working on it in a competitive way. That's just not usually the way the scientific community works, especially with something like this that's so critical for the health of the world.
Dr. McNeil, are you optimistic?
I am optimistic. I guess my time frame might be a little longer than some people would want. I do think we're going to have to maintain social distancing and keep clean and do all of those things for a while. So I think lives are going to be changed for a while, unfortunately. But I think the more we learn, the quicker we learn it, we can do those things in a way that we can still get this economy back up and running. So I'm very optimistic. And I think it's going to be a combination, like you said, of multiple different vaccine platforms, multiple different tries at treatment, and just if we maintain this collaborative effort, I think we can do it.
The California State University System recently announced that they are going to host online-only classes in the fall. Mm-hmm. Has Colorado State made a decision on whether in-person classes are going to happen in the fall?
They have not made an official decision yet. As professors and lecturers, we are being told to be prepared for everything and anything. So we know this summer will be online only. In the fall, we hope to start face-to-face with our students and get them back in the labs and get them excited about this kind of research that we're doing. But there is a chance that at least for the first part of the semester, we will maintain online-only classes.
We're talking to Dr. Amy McNeil, Associate Professor of Microbiology, Immunology, and Pathology at Colorado State University. Is there anything else you'd like to share this morning?
Oh, I think that's it. I thank you for having me. It's great.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about your research and the vaccine opportunities.
Thank you very much, Dr. McNeil.
You're welcome. Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
That was Dr. Amy McNeil from Colorado State University. Her research typically studies how to use the immune system to fight cancer and looking at these pox viruses as anti-cancer agents. So she's transferring that knowledge to apply it to vaccine research for COVID-19.